We pray that as you come among us, you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, and that you would open our lives to your word, that we might hear it and that we might live it. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I was in the eighth grade, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, killed a pterodactyl with a slingshot. When I was in the eighth grade, I won the school's science fair. Actually, my father won it through me. But I was the one who stood there by the exhibit. And I got the honor of going to participate in the regional science fair, which was at the university. And I was really, really excited about this because as a young boy, and even now, I was extremely excited about the space program. And one of the speakers for the final night was going to be Dr. Wernher von Braun. And I was super excited. And the second day of the science fair, and if you don't know who he is, by the way, just this side of God. No. And he would have told you so. No. He was head of the Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, chief engineer of the Saturn V that took us to the moon. And that time was I knew he was also a Lutheran. And so was I at that time. So, but the second day of the fair, as I was standing there messing with my stuff that Dad had created for me, I turned around and I was extremely surprised that Dr. von Braun was standing right there at my exhibit. And he struck up a conversation with me about what I had done and talked about science in general. And I have to honestly say, I don't remember what he said, and his accent was so heavy, I had, you know, just trying to understand at that time. But I do remember the last thing he said to me before he walked away. He said, "Always remember that the world is divided into two groups, those who do and those who criticize those who do." And as an eighth grader, I thought that was very profound. And I held on to those words. I remember I shared them with other people. But as I grew older, I noticed that there are a great number of people who spout wisdom like that. And they will talk about two groups of people that the world's divided into. And they will word it in such a way that it should be obvious to you which group you should be in. Which is the good one, which is the bad one. And some of those I'll share with you. There are two types of people in the world, those who work and those who take credit for the work. Indira Gandhi said, "You should strive to be in the first group because it's less crowded." There are two types of people in the world, those who get things done and those who don't want to make any mistakes. There are two types of people in the world, those who make excuses and those who get results. But my favorite is from Groucho Marx. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who think people can be divided into two groups and those who don't. I think I come down on the those who don't. But on first reading, you listen to the gospel lesson this morning, it seems like it might be the same. There are two types of people in the world, those who are like the Pharisee and those who are like the tax collector. And let's look at each of these characters in the parable, and we'll see that there's a little more to the story than picking sides. But before I do, one of the things I loved, and it just really hit me between the eyes as Father Bill was reading it right there in front of me. The introduction to this parable is priceless. That this is the way Luke says it. To some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And you think, how did he get them together? Self-righteous over here. Come on, over here in this part. Listen up. I got something for you. And those of you who look down on everybody else, come in too. I mean, how do you get a group like that together? Well, let's look at the Pharisee for a moment. He is an extremely interesting man. If I were to include him in this parable in a musical, if he were in a musical, I would have him come out and sing a song, illegally borrowing the tune from Mac Davis's old song, Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble. Goes something like this. Belinda did help me with the lyrics. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when I'm righteous in every way. I tithe and give lots to the poor folk, and I talk to you every day. I'm glad I'm not like those sinners. They don't fast and pray like me. They don't even try to follow your law. It's great to be a Pharisee. And then all the Pharisees would join in. Oh, Lord. But now I have to apologize to you. I do not have a song for the tax collector. Because all of the songs I could find about tax collectors speak the way I feel about tax collectors. Just having filed my extended taxes last week, I have no love for tax collectors at all. But our tax collectors are a little different from theirs. But he doesn't need a song. Suffice it to say, he has no problem with humility. That's all he has. That's all he has when he comes to the temple. And the implication is clear. Don't be like the Pharisee. Be like the tax collector. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. And so then I give you an admonition. Hey, everybody, well, be humble. My work here is done. Amen. And we get out early and we have lunch.
That's not happening.
No. That would be a good ending for another sermon. But I think there's more here and that we need to see and understand today, and especially in our society today. In this parable, the Pharisee offers a most peculiar prayer of thanksgiving. He actually thanks God for the things that he himself does to make himself righteous. I mean, that's pretty bizarre if you think about it. Listen to his prayer again, and I want you to count the number of times you hear I. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, Lord, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. That's four times in two-sentence prayer. Five times in a two-sentence prayer. Thank you. See, he's even worse. Five times in a two-sentence prayer. He thanks God that he is righteous. And he also demonstrates that he is extremely judgmental. He is a self-righteous, arrogant, egotistical, judgmental Pharisee, and I thank God I'm not like him. And I hope all of you thank God that you're not like him either. And in doing that, I have become like him. In my human frailty, I have to realize that there are times when I point to those obvious sinners and compare them to myself, with me coming out favorably, of course. And in doing that, I write myself in my own righteousness rather than the righteousness of Christ. And thinking back, it's really not hard for Jesus to gather a crowd of people like that. It's all of us. It wasn't hard for him to gather the crowd that day. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. He's telling that parable to me, telling that parable to you. Every human being is at times self-righteous and judgmental. We are, sorry to break this to you, we're all sinners. And you know it. You know what? If you don't, go read the third chapter of Romans, where Paul talks about righteousness and that no one is righteous. And in verse 23, he drives it home with the verse that we all know. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have. None of us can stand before God in our own righteousness. None of us can stand before God unless he clothes us in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And now, let's look briefly at the tax collector. It's obvious why Jesus selected him. You know, he's almost the antithesis of what the Pharisee is striving to be. Probably the most vile person that you could think of at that time. And I don't want to say that about the IRS. They're not. They're doing their jobs. They don't do it well, but they're doing their jobs. And there aren't enough of them. So apparently they're going to hire a bunch more. And that's fine if they'll do it right. But in that day, first century Palestine, the tax collector was the most vile person you could think of. He's a collaborator with the Romans. He's a traitor to his people. He's a traitor to his nation, Israel, and he is a traitor to God. The people listening to Jesus that day knew the teachings of the rabbis concerning tax collectors. They were counted right beside the murderers and the robbers. They were excommunicated from attending synagogue. They could not exchange money at the temple. They were like lepers without sores. They were the most hated and despised. They could not even bear witness in a court of law. So the prayer of the tax collector when he comes to the temple and stands far off is an absolute cry for mercy. He knows his sin. He cannot even lift his eyes to heaven. And his prayer is brief as he beats his chest. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus tells us he went home justified. Not because of his righteousness, but because of the mercy of God. The truth is, everybody in this parable is a sinner in need of redemption. And the truth is, there are not two types of people. There are not two types of people in this world. Only one type of person, sinful human beings in need of God's mercy. Humorist Dave Barry, if you've ever read any of his columns or books, summed it up best when he said, there are two kinds of people in the world, and I'm one of them. We're all one of them. It's not an either or, it's both and. We're all sinners being redeemed. In the Reformation, one of the, you know, there are a lot of little Latin catchphrases from the Reformation. You go to seminary and you learn them. Makes you sound intelligent when you repeat them. Now you can say, sola scriptura, scripture alone. You know, sola fide, faith alone. But there was also the simul justus et peccator. There will not be a test later, so you don't have to remember that. That's, we are simultaneously saints and sinners. When we come to Christ, we don't suddenly become a saint who never will sin again. We all are sinners. But we know about the mercy. And we know that there's no sin so great that it cannot be forgiven. And so we offer our thanksgiving for the mercy and the grace of God as God has revealed it to us and made it known and offered it to everyone, to the world. We understand it. We've seen it. We've experienced that mercy. Now, if there is a division of people in the world, it would be this. Those of us who know the love and mercy of Jesus Christ and those who do not yet know. Like Father Bill's sermon last week, this one's that one about relationship. There are two types of people in the world. Those who have a relationship with the living Christ, despite the worst sins they've ever committed, and those who do not yet know him. Those who do not yet know his mercy. And they won't know if those of us who do know don't share it with them. What we're striving for is that one type of people in the world, that everyone would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen.